try and keep it short, and then obviously it bites you later on. Because really, I think the Lord's been here and He's still here. But it's moments like that I know that He's so much more than what I can give you this morning. But just in obedience, I will follow through. I want to talk to you this morning about concept or about a few principles. And it's not a typical prosperity thing, so don't run away with the access to abundance, okay? Because I'm not preaching on that, but I believe that God wants us to share in the abundance that He's given us, whether it's physically or whether it's spiritually. And I want to go back before I share that. I'm actually going to preach on John 21. You can page there if you want. But before we go there, I want to talk about Isaiah 54. At the beginning of the year, we had that scripture. And some of you, we've shared that before. Some of you, if you're visiting, by the way, Ron, Donna, thank you so much for last week. Ron was ministering here and had so many good things, positive feedback, and was blessed. So thank you so much. We love you guys dearly. You do not feel like visitors, like family. And I think your faces are so familiar to many of you here. And may the Lord bless you for your contribution and what you've done here as well. Isaiah 54, I've shared that in the beginning of the year, and I believe that's a word for us for this year in the sense that we really have to stretch out. It says, I'll just read it. Sing, O barren, you have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. And then he goes on to say, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. What a beautiful word. And the Lord gave that to us end of last year, I believe for this year. For us as a congregation, that we just have to stretch out a little bit in many ways. I believe personally, I believe as a congregation. But I want to take us back there, and then I want to apply or move from that place to a place. How do we apply that in our lives? And I want to say, first of all, that we never pursue prophecies. We pursue the Lord. When somebody gives you a word, don't run after the word, because then you'll see that people run after prophecy and one another prophecy. And somebody, the other day, say to me, we were in a wedding just about a week ago, and I was having a discussion with somebody, and the guy said, this one of the leaders, pastors, he's moving in the prophetic, and he said he's obviously, this guy was very young and new, and I want to say not as mature, and he was saying to me, you know, it's almost like we become addictive to that. We want more of that. And I realized, you know, that's not really what God wants us. But what I want to say to you this morning is that when God gives us a word like that, it's not automatic. We still have to follow Him in order to reach our destiny and the word. And I believe that we can agree this morning that the things that happen to us in life, we do not have control over what happens to us. You know, bad things happen to good people. Here we have a precious couple that's just been in a motor accident. But out of that, the Romans 8:28 happened as well. I love that scripture lately. It's just so powerful. And I could see that even the seemingly bad thing that happened to them on their way here to Swakopmund for other reasons, were in a motor accident, but God turned it around for good. And they will be able to testify that sometimes things happen to us is how we respond to what happens to us that will determine eventually where we arrive. And James writes it this way. He writes in James 4. He says, come now, you will say, today, tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, when you read it like that and you look at generations that come and go, then you realize the truth of that. That people will come, they die, and then after a while we forget about them. And then suddenly I realize my own, I want to say brokenness, but that I'm like a vapor. For one moment I'm here on earth, and the next thing I'm just gone. Like mist before the sun. Anyway, verse 15 says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Do we have control over the circumstances of our lives? No, we are totally without strength and unable. Sorry, that wasn't part of the scripture. I think I just read my own notes there. Sorry. That is not part of the word. apologize. So I want to say to you, first of all, we do not have control, but we do have control over what and how we respond. And when the Lord gives us a word like that, that you need to stretch out, that you need to think a little bit bigger. And as I shared earlier on with our men's camp, how I started very small and very embarrassed to say how I thought and trusted the Lord for much fewer than where we are right now. I just realized that God is thinking so much bigger than me, than you, than us this morning. And God wants us to expand. God wants us to have access to the abundance. And going back to John 21 from where we will be reading this morning, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to him, I am going fishing. Okay. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Good luck. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast out, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Listen to Peter's reaction. I just picked it up this morning as I was reading it. I never saw it like this. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. And then was verse 8. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging in the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Just stop for a moment there. I saw that this morning. You know, it's just beautiful how God picked different disciples, different personalities. And I could see a picture of church for a moment, you know, different people. Peter's in the boat. They're all in the boat. And then somebody recognized that it's Jesus. And look at Peter's reaction. Jesus! Man, it's Jesus! Let's go! It's Jesus! And he's in the water. Didn't think. He's almost like, you know, you get people sometimes like, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I love you. And then you get the other disciples. And there's place for them in the church, in the boat as well. They just do it. Morning, Jesus. How are you? Not like Peter. I think Peter is just so unique in his own way. How are you? And it blesses me to see how they're so different, but yet so unique in their own way. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. Somebody counted the fish. Must have been an engineer or mathematician between them. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that he was the Lord? Then Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And this chapter starts, and I think I want to take us back to verse 1, where it says, after these things. After these things. What happened before what we just read? Actually, what happened last week, what we were celebrating last week, the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection. Jesus appeared to his disciples. And this happened after that. But if you go back to Matthew 28, you can read it yourself. I think verse 16. Jesus is telling them, specifically after he appeared to them, that they ought to wait at a specific mountain in Galilee. Wait for me. I think it was a surprise to them. I think they were, you know, they didn't, I want to say, didn't almost believe it, but they were, wow, Jesus is alive. And then Jesus says, listen, it's good enough, but I'll see you later. Wait at the mountain. I'll meet you up there later on. And now the response of the disciples is so interesting. We get Peter. And now this is my translation, okay? I don't say that it's written in the word, but I can just see him. God is telling them, listen, Peter, just wait on the mountain there, you guys. I'll see you later. And then he's just waiting and waiting and waiting. And Peter goes, no man, I'm going fishing. I can't wait any longer. And sometimes in life, when we're busy with the wrong stuff or we start going in the wrong direction, we gather people. And the other disciples said, yes, listen, we'll go fishing as well. We know fishing. I mean, we've done this for many years now. Probably didn't do it as much the last 3 years, but I mean, I'm hungry now. I can't wait anymore. Jesus, it's not. And then they go out there on their own, catching fish at night when they seemingly it's some of the best times to catch fish, and coming back with nothing. And then Jesus is on the side there, just waiting for them. And he asked them, so did you catch any fish? Why would Jesus ask him a question or them a question and he knows the answer anyway? I mean, why would Jesus ask? Have you ever found that when sometime when God asks you something that he knows the answer of, it's not because he wants the answer. He wants me to think about it. And it's almost like God asked them, what are you doing here? What are you busy with? Tell me, did you catch any fish? Let's translate to the 2014 version. What are you busy with? Did your plans work out? You try to supply for yourself now. You try to do it in your own strength now. And in the first principle I want to share this morning, in the access to our abundance, sometimes we have to reach a place and God will wait till we are at the end of our rope, when we've tried our ways in supplying, in our ways in converting or reaching out, going out there in the water, trying to do it in our own strength. God will wait till you've tried everything and come back empty-handed and realize, listen, actually, I'm just so dependent upon him. I came back with nothing. And then the Lord would ask us, what have you got in your hand? Did you catch any fish? Did your plans work out? And the no we ought to give him is not for ourselves. It's not for him, it's for ourselves, sorry. Just to take us to that place of honesty. And I say it so often, you know, I see it in a service so often, you know, that sometimes God wants us to reach that place of honesty just with myself. And he'll talk to me and he'll ask those kind of questions to me just so that I can reach the place of saying, Lord, no. Actually, I'm busy with the wrong stuff, Lord. But I love this. Look at the scripture there. It says, after the night, it was dark night, they tried catching fish, and when it was morning, Jesus stood on the shore. I want to say to some of you this morning, maybe you've gone through the darkest night, trying to do things in your strength, trying to accomplish things you thought it should be accomplished. Maybe you went out there trying to convert people, but trying to reach out to people, catching fish. It's what we are called to do, catching fish as children of God, all of us, just fishes of men. And you tried and you are at the place where you just say, it doesn't work. This whole thing doesn't work. This reaching out, this praying for people. I just don't have any success. These people are so unspiritual. They don't want to. You see that you're at a place where you just don't know. Or maybe at work you are at a place where you just don't know. And God is asking you, what would your answer be? I want to say to you this morning, after every darkest night, there's a bright morning. And Jesus is standing on the shore. That was so beautiful to me, a beautiful picture of grace. They've toiled, they've worked all night, they've tried everything in their own strength. And when it was morning, Jesus was there. I believe Jesus is here this morning. And he's just standing there. He's not going to impose himself. He's not going to come and walk to you. He'll just probably ask you a question or two. And then he'll leave the answer to you and me to be honest with ourselves, to wrestle with that. What are you busy with? Have you tried in your own strength? Are you busy cleaning nets? Are you busy at the side, not actively in the sea anymore? You're not there. And grace comes in. You see, as with Elijah, the moment, just as soon as we think we worked it all out, Someone once said, God will shoot your bird and dry up your brook of water. So you will not look at the bird or the ravens and the fountain or whatsoever as the provider, but as him. Continuously. When we think we figure it all out, God just appears on the scene. What are you busy with? It's your own strength and your own strength. What are you trying to accomplish here? Can't you wait just on a little bit longer? And secondly, this morning, that I find that God's ways are so often different from my ways. The way I would love to approach that in the flesh. And Jesus says to them, listen, you've tried all night long. Cast that net on the right side. Interesting, though, is that they didn't know at that time that it was Jesus yet. But they still obeyed. I think, they probably thought, who's this stranger? He's telling us to cast the net on the right side. We've been there all night. Just to prove him wrong, we're going to do it anyway, just to show him there is no fish. And funny enough, when they did it, his true identity was revealed. But nevertheless, they went out and they approached it differently. And I say to you this morning that God knows where the fish are to be found. God knows when to put me in the right place, the right time, in the right conversation, if I allow the Holy Spirit to direct me. If I pray that kind of prayer daily, God, I just want to be, spiritually speaking, today use me. I'm going out in the water today, Lord. I'm catching fish, Lord. Where do I have to go, Lord? And sometimes you can just be busy with the smallest and most mundane things, and God will just appear on the scene, and you have a God moment in that moment, and you think, God, you're here. What do I have to do? Grace can empower you this morning to be at the right time, at the right place. Grace can empower you, I want to say physically, business-wise, to know where to lower the net, where to go at the right time as well. Timing is so important. And God enables us this morning through grace. You know, I find that we have two extremes in the body or in life as well. Get the one, they don't have any goals, faith goals, etc. That's why we started with that this year. We said, listen, how many people do you trust the Lord? Or how many people you'd like to see? Who are you praying for? Who are you trusting the Lord that would come to meet him this year? Because if you don't have any of those goals or any of those prayer goals, can I say faith goals that you bring to the Lord, guess what? You will not reach any because you're not trusting the Lord for those people. That's just how it works. That's why sometimes people feel like it's about the numbers. It's not about the numbers. It's about who are you trusting. I don't put a limit on. Some people say, I'm trusting the Lord for 10 people this year. And these are the names I'm trusting the Lord for. Romans 12 talks about, let it be according to your faith. Different for all of us. But then you get the other extreme. They have goals and plans in life, but there's no room for God to interfere. I'm so set in my ways. You know, I put it on the left side. I'll lower my net on the left side. This is my way. This is my way I approach it. This is how I do things. And we do not leave room for the Lord. And I believe there's a place where we have to find balance, where we need to have a goal, but we need to leave room for God to interfere in our lives. And I want to ask you this morning, are you still lowering your net daily? I find that if I do not lower my net, the net is always empty. It's just common sense. Every time I go out in faith, I'm just asking for a God moment. God is so much more faithful than me. He just stands up. And then actually I make the same stupid mistake every time again of not lowering the net. And then the moment I realize I missed it and I ask the Lord for that moment again or for a godly moment, he's just so faithful again. And he gives me that moment where I can have that God moment again. Caroline shared the other day about her concern, not the concern, but a desire to see soul saved. And every time when you make that, if you do not make that call or that invitation, guess what? How can people respond if there's not an invitation? How can people respond if I do not lower the net this morning? Thirdly, the miracle took place in the water. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. And I want to say to you this morning, as I were reading this, I just sense that the Lord says that is a prophetic word for us. If all of us are willing to lower our nets, we will not be able to bring up all that fish. There's so many. There's so many people in need of Christ. And it's almost like the net wants to break. But we all got to, I want to say, partner together in doing what God wants us to do. Lowering the net. And we told that, we say it often, you can't catch a fish if you do not have a line in the water. That's just a principle. But it's so true. You know, I find that I'm so difficult sometimes that I miss out to catch the fish if I do it in my own strength. I'll use the wrong bait. Or I'll reel it in too quickly. Or too slowly. And that's where I need God. That's why I need Jesus. To tell me when is the time. I made the joke in the first service. I said, so often I think we as Christians, we're so bored. You know, we would throw out the hook out there without any bait. And then we expect people to come to church. I mean, we're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord's presence. I mean, come to church and the Lord will bless you. Instead of just engaging in relationship first and just inviting for a bride, stay away from church for a while till you get them to a place where they trust you and they see that you love them and people see that you care for them. Don't put out that empty hook. It will scare people away. And try to be holy. I think it's just that we sometimes have to be obedient when the Lord says, listen, lower the net on the right hand side or the right side. Trust me. I know you can't see what's down there, but you gotta trust me now. It's in there, and then at the right time you gotta bring it up. There's a joke, I think I shared it before as well. And I don't want to call. But they say there's an art of picking the fruit when somebody's coming to Christ. Us as co-workers, as co-laborers, when we out there in the field, there's a right timing. And we would agree this morning. If you wait too long, if you wait too long, the Jehovah's Witnesses will pick it. If you're too soon, then it will drop on the ground. If too early, then it will drop on the ground. But nevertheless, we got to know the timing when to do it. And the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 13, verse 34, is like, he says, it's like a treasure hidden in the field. And that is so beautiful, that comparison. He says, it's like my little girl, or oldest girl. She's so fond about little things. It's little dolls and little thingies. She would gather all of that, little stones, everything that's small. And then she would carry a little stone all day long. And this is so beautiful. I don't know. It's just, that's where she is. I mean, Friday during the day, they went to play at friends. And before she went, she gave Johanna a little piece. I think it was about this piece of soap. So ball, I don't know. But so small. And she said, just keep it for me. And unfortunately, my wife threw it away. There were so much tears at night when she got home. And where's my soap? But I want to say to you this morning, when he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. I can just see this thing, you know. God says, it's like we're going out there in the field. And then you see somebody there. And it's like a rough diamond there. It's not polished yet. God says, I see a diamond there. Maybe you do not see that, but I see a diamond there. And I need to ask the Lord sometimes, Lord, just touch my eyes to see the diamonds that you've placed in the field. Are you still in the field? Are you still looking for the treasures out there? There are a lot of treasures in here, but forget about them for a moment. We ought to be in the field out there, on the water. The miracle didn't take place on land. We can't just pray and say, Lord, save that person. Lord, we want you to reveal yourself to that person, but I sit at home and I don't want to go out and engage in any of that. We go out in the water in faith. Say, God, I'm going to go out in the water. I'm going to trust you. When out there in the water, that you will show me where to lower my net, when to reel it in. And Lord, when and what? and I'm going to find that treasure in the field. I'm going to look at that treasure. And then when I find that treasure, God, I'm going to do anything in my ability just to build relationship. God, I see what you see this morning, Lord. The miracle was preceded by an act of obedience and faith. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. I'm not saying that we have to work to that, but I want to say that God sometimes gives us certain instructions. Before, or unless we do that, we'll not see the miracles. We'll not have access to that. So it's not that I'm saying, guys, do this and then God will do this. All I'm saying is, as with Jonah, God gives him a specific command. And his command didn't change until he was obedient to the first. And sometimes I find it with Moses. The Lord tells Moses, Moses, what have you got in your hand? Just throw it down. And the miracle happened. Funny things that happened. Elijah and the widow. Or Elijah, I always get confused with the two. They're so close. But anyway. The widow, poor widow, the creditor's about to foreclose, about to take in everything. She says, listen, have you got some oil? Just put some oil in the jars. And she starts doing such a small act, yet it turned out to be a salvation, I want to say. The sons of the prophets and Elijah, they're going out there, they're cleaning a piece of land because the area where they were living were not big enough, so they borrowed the axe. So now they're just cleaning it, and the next thing, the axe fell in the water. Oh no, that axe was borrowed. We're going to get in trouble. And Elijah says to him, no, don't worry. Just take a piece of wood, throw it into the water. Doesn't make sense at all. And then the axe head floats. Something that had to be done. Jesus, let's take him as an example. As though his old example, he comes to the blind man. He says to him, the blind man wants to be healed. And then Jesus stirs a little bit. He upsets the religious. He goes, and probably take a bit of mud in that mixture. I can see the church people standing there looking at Jesus. You mad guy. Spitting on the ground, and then he's putting it on the eyes of the blind man. Anyway, so he puts it on his eyes and he says to him, go and wash yourself. Again, there was an act of obedience and faith. Now, God can do miracles other ways as well. I'm not saying this is the one recipe. I'm just saying sometimes when we want to have access to the abundance, there's something that God asked me to do first. Because it's symbolic and it shows something about my faith, about my obedience. God, I'm desperate to see that. Well, just build relationship. You can't just sit there in your sitting room and pray aloud and hoping that somewhere this person will hear about Christ or my situation at work will change, maybe. You gotta be. Somebody asked me after the first service, how can I change it? I'm in this. Anyway, I wouldn't expand too much in this work situation. So just as easy as that, just start moving. Just start moving. God can steer a moving ship. I'm not saying I'm always going in the right direction, but you can't just sit down. I share that story. You can't just sit there and do nothing. Move. There are times in my life, and I believe you can identify this morning, when you hear the Lord clearly, when you know the Lord said, and you make a bold step of faith, and you know you're going in the right direction. But there are certain times when you hear, you've got this prompting, you're not sure this man on the shore, was it Jesus? He told us to put it on the right-hand side, and I'm not sure, but I'm just going to obey it anyway. And in times like that, I just take smaller steps. And I just say, Lord, are you in this? I'm not sure, but Lord, I'm willing to turn around. Lord, I'm willing to change direction. But Lord, I'm not going to stand here and wait for better days. Because you're moving. You want to move me. And Lord, I'm open which direction you change me. But when we walk in humility, God can change us. It's when pride sets in. You've got to bring something to the table. You've got to put something on the table so that God can multiply that this morning. Many times we pray that, God, give me abundance. God, I want to have access to that. God, I want to see that I reach nations, that we as a church reach nations. But we're not in the field. God cannot multiply that, as easy as that. What have you put on the table this morning? Lately, for the last 2 months, I cannot get past that prayer. That little boy that brought his fish and his bread to Jesus. I cannot tell you how many times I feel like that little boy that bring his fish and bread to Jesus. And Lord, I say, Lord, I realize this is so inadequate. This little bit that you gave me, it's really, you cannot feed the people here. But God, I ask you to multiply that. God, I want to reach out to that. And I realize, Lord, I've got just so little. But God, can you multiply that? Can I tell you that not once he's been unfaithful in that? Not once he didn't multiply that. And every time I just stand and say, God, you're just amazing. Because I'm not amazing. And they might think this was great, but I realize actually I know so little. And I have so little. But I saw the multiplication took place. And I realized he's so committed to multiply if I bring that to the table. What is it that God told you lately to do? And maybe you didn't. And it might just be the key. And my last point this morning. Verse 10. Then as soon as they had come to land, listen to this, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. They come to land. Jesus is waiting there for them after they've gone back. And they saw that Jesus prepared fish for them. And then Jesus says to them, bring some of that fish you caught. Why would Jesus ask them fish if he already had fish? For me, it was when I was reading this just again, what a beautiful picture of giving. God enables me. He gives to me. He doesn't need my fish. I mean, I've got fish here on the fire. But anyway, bring that fish of yours because I want to say something to you. Your contribution value your contribution. But in that way, we protect ourselves from the love of money and from the love of those things that God blesses us with. So in a nutshell, enablement is followed by acknowledgement. That's why they had to bring that fish. God was saying to them, you know what? I told you where to lower that net. I told you to put it on the right-hand side. And I know you counted that. And I know you thought it's 153. That's a lot of money or that's a lot of fish. But don't bring all of that. Just bring some of that. And the New Testament says that we ought to give according to how the Lord purposes. Actually, he gives us the sky as a limit. And that's why all of us can give according to what the Lord lays upon us in our hearts. We've got guidelines. But I'm saying 10% is not the norm or the maximum, as we so often say, the norm, I want to say. God just says, bring some of that. And for some of us, it's more. For some of us, it will just be one. I don't know. Whatever the Lord lays upon us. But every time God enables me, in order to protect me, I got to bring back some of that fish. And say, Lord, I'll sanctify to honor you, to thank you for what you've given me, for how you showed me. And when you showed me. Let's close our eyes. I just want to pray for nobody looking around. Maybe you've been busy with your own things and you've almost like Peter went fishing and you came back and you empty-handed and you toiled all night, you struggled, busy with your own things, and you're at a place where you feel so, I want to say, empty. You feel, oh God, I just don't have anything to show to you. And Jesus is probably asking that question to you this morning. Have you caught any fish? Maybe you've just been busy with your own things. What have you been busy with? He's just asking you, what are you busy with? Maybe he's asking you that question this morning. I'm not going to call you to the front. I just want you to reach that moment of honesty with the Lord. Do you feel that you're tired of that, trying it in your strength, accomplishing it in your ways, and you just need to, I want to say, go out on a boat again. Say, God, I trust you this time. If that's you, just while nobody's looking around, I just want to pray with you. Say, it's me, just pray with me, just to give me a right indication. And I'll pray with you to raise your hand just where you are. Nobody looking around. I want to say to you this morning that Jesus is inviting you back to the waters. On the boat. Lower the net again. Expect him to fill that net. Expect him to do the miracle only he can do. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, still nobody looking around, and you are not in a relationship with Christ. you do not even recognize him, almost like the disciples. You're at that place where you do not know that stranger. You do not know, you have that active relationship with Christ where you know for a fact that today if you would die, you would be at the right place with God. You're not sure, and I want to make sure that you are sure this morning. Nobody looking around, just to give me an indication, say, pray with me. I need that prayer. I need to make sure my relationship is at the right place. Thank you, Jesus. I need to make sure when Jesus returns, I'm there. Count me. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, that we just can come before you this morning and recognize, Lord, so often our ways are not your ways, Lord. And we try and labor in our own strength so often. And then we become tired, Lord, and discouraged. And actually, all you want to do is just to bring us to that place of the end of our rope, Lord, where we realize, Lord, our ways didn't work out. And I believe, Lord, you're here this morning to say to us, Lord, just go out, to go out on the water again, Lord. And we encourage us to lower the nets again. And Father, maybe a different way and a different approach than what we did in the past. But Lord, you're asking us in this journey again with you. Father, that's my prayer for each and everyone that indicated this morning, Lord, that we need to know, Lord. We really want to go in that direction. Lord, I pray, Lord, for conversations, Lord. I pray godly conversations that will be striked up, Lord. Lord, I pray for where we are in our workplaces, in our families, in our relationships, where we are, Lord, that you will just, God gives us access to the abundance, Lord, as we lower our nets, Lord, that we'll find, Father, that our nets cannot almost contain what you want to put in the nets, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will protect us, Lord, from the love of self, from the love of our contribution, from the love of money, from the love of all those evil kinds of things, Lord, that will keep us away from the things that you bless us so often with, Lord, from those fish, Lord, that you will put in our net, Lord, and from what it might be, Lord, whether it's people, whether it's material, whatever it might be this morning, Father, may we never take pride in that, Lord. May we always acknowledge and know, Lord, that it's you that enabled us. It's you that sent us, Lord, and empower us, Lord. May we walk in that boldness this morning. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.